And so this last verse says, lead us to God, our final rest, to be with him forever blessed. Lead us to heaven, its bliss to share, fullness of joy forever there. And that is our desire this morning for everyone seated in this audience, is that when that time comes, that we will be prepared. Because, we're all going to face that day. We're all going to stand at the judgment. And it's not just going to be the church leaders there, but we're going to be facing the judge of all the earth, the one who can see even the thoughts and intents of our heart. This morning, I'd like to look at Joshua chapter 3 and 4 kind of continue that theme of preparation. There is a lot of preparation involved in major events in the Bible. And, of course, the Passover was one of those. There was a lot of preparation involved. And as we see Jesus and his disciples gathering in the upper room there to observe the Passover feast, how many times does it say, go and prepare a place? And so there's a lot of preparation. We are here preparing for eternity. We're preparing for a tremendous event that we're all going to experience someday, and we're on the threshold of it. So as we look here at Joshua chapters 3 and 4, we find some typology here that's interesting, and many types have a double meaning. We get a lot of lessons here from the book of Joshua and Judges from the Israelites in Canaan, such as not fully obeying the commandments of the Lord and going into a situation of compromise and suffering the results of not carrying out God's commandments fully. That's not what I plan to talk about this morning. The thing that I want to look at this morning is crossing into Canaan as also being a type of the faithful passing into the promised land, which is heaven. And so this is the sense in which I want to approach this portion of Scripture here this morning, because someday we too will stand on the brink of that river, and we too will need to cross over. And Jesus has gone that way before us so that we may cross over on dry ground, just like the children of Israel did, and safely arrive at the other side. So many things here. I won't be able to read the entire chapter because we don't have time for that. But let's look at the first four verses here of Joshua chapter 3. The setting here is that the spies have returned from Jericho, and they are now have assembled at the banks of the Jordan, and they're ready to cross over into the promised land. And Joshua rose early in the morning, and they removed from Shittim and came to Jordan, he and all the children of Israel, and lodged there before they passed over. And it came to pass after 3 days that the officers went through the host, and they commanded the people, saying, when you see the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord your God, and the priests, the Levites, bearing it, then ye shall remove from your place and go after it. Yet there shall be a space between you and it, and about 2,000 cubits by measure. Come not near unto it, that ye may know the way by which ye must go, for you have not passed this way heretofore. And that is certainly true of us. We have not passed that way heretofore. And so we are standing back and we are observing as the Ark of the Covenant, which is a type of Jesus Christ, as he enters the Jordan and shows us by his miraculous death and resurrection, what he has in store for us. And so he says here, now wait 3 days, and then you go through. Same as coming through the Red Sea. There was 3 days' journey from the time they left Egypt until they entered the Red Sea and came out on the other side. This Red Sea crossing is a type of the new birth, which we sometimes call the first resurrection. The old man being buried, the Egypt left behind, the world being renounced, and the song of victory on the other side as we claim deliverance from the bondage of Egypt and Satan. When Jesus was talking to Martha there at after the death of Lazarus, Martha said to him, "I know that he shall rise again in the resurrection at the last day." But Jesus said unto her, "I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live." And that resurrection he's talking about is that first resurrection when we receive new life in Christ and we begin to walk in the Spirit and we begin to take on the image of Christ in our own life. And so he said, "Wait 3 days here again." Jesus was in the grave 3 days and then he rose again. Before they crossed the Jordan there, which is a type of death, and Jesus went that way before us. So it's talking there, this second crossing is talking about the resurrection of the just, those who are ready to enter into the promised land, heaven. "For if we had been planted together in the likeness of his death, we shall be also in the likeness of his resurrection." And being planted together in the likeness of his death is being willing to bear his reproach, to take his cross, and to make that wilderness journey, and to live for the Lord through all the testings and the trials of the wilderness, and finally being faithful and arriving at the brink of Jordan. And as he says here, those who have been planted together in the likeness of his death shall also be in the likeness of his resurrection. In 1 Thessalonians 4:16 and 17, "For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first." And so it says, "Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord." And certainly, as we prepare for this tremendous event, it's not something that we just wait until the last minute and then hope that we have time to get ready, that we hope we have time to straighten things out in our life or to make things right with our fellow man, that we just hope the Lord gives us those extra few seconds to do that. None of us have a promise of that, but the thought here is preparation. You're going to be there for 3 days. You're going to be getting ready. You're going to need to sanctify yourselves, and we'll talk about that some more. Because you have not passed this way heretofore. 1 Corinthians 15:20 says, "But now is Christ risen from the dead and become the first fruits of them that slept." And it's interesting here that this was actually at the time of the Passover. They observed the Passover immediately after they crossed over into the promised land. First thing they did was observe the Passover. And the Feast of First Fruits was on the day after the Passover was observed. And so it was all part of the same ceremony. The Feast of Unleavened Bread was simultaneous with it as well. But he says he has become the first fruits of them that slept. In other words, he showed us by his life, by his example, and not only showed us how to live, but he showed us also his great power, that he is the one who has conquered death. Moses was a type of Christ, the mediator, intercessor. He stood between God and the people and interceded for the people many times. But Joshua is a type of Christ, the conqueror, the one who conquered death. And for every man, and has made it possible that we can go through the Jordan on dry land. And so now looking at verse 5 here, he says, "And Joshua said unto the people, sanctify yourselves, for tomorrow the Lord will do wonders among you." And as we think about preparation to enter into the promised land, he said, sanctify yourselves. And that word sanctify means to prepare yourself or to be cleansed. In the old law, it had involved a lot of rituals of washings and those kind of things. But it was a preparation. It was, you are a people set apart. You are sanctified. You are preparing yourselves to enter into the promised land. And that is the bigger picture that we're looking at this morning. If we're just thinking about getting ready for communion and giving a clear testimony so that we can take communion, and, you know, there's so many things that, this depends on your own personal experience. It's not, we are not confessors like a priest. But God knows, God sees. It doesn't matter what we say or what words we use in our testimony. God can look right into the heart. And he knows where we're at. And I trust that we'll be honest with God and with each other here today as we think of this preparation. But he said, sanctify yourselves. And as Paul was talking there to the Ephesian church in Acts chapter 20, the Ephesian elders there, he said, and now, brethren, I commend you to God and to the word of his grace, which is able to build you up and to give you an inheritance among all them which are sanctified. Now, these people were ready to go into the promised land to claim their inheritance. And we also have an inheritance promised to us. We are heirs of God and joint heirs with Jesus Christ. And that is the inheritance that's promised to us is heaven itself. And he says, he is able to build you up and to give you that inheritance if you're sanctified. If you've prepared yourself, if you are ready to enter in when the call comes, when the trumpet sounds, or when God calls our name, that we are sanctified, we're ready to enter in, and we can share in that inheritance. And then in verses 6 and 7, here in chapter 3, he says, and Joshua spake unto the priests, saying, take up the Ark of the Covenant and pass over before the people. And they took up the Ark of the Covenant and went before the people. And the Lord said unto Joshua, this day will I begin to magnify thee in the sight of all Israel, that they may know that as I was with Moses, so will I be with thee. Dropping down to verse 11, behold, the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord of all the earth passes over before you into Jordan. And so he says, this day will I begin to magnify thee before the people. And I have to think, it was not until the resurrection, it was not until Jesus manifested himself there at the resurrection that when the work of our salvation was completed, and when it was accomplished, that he began to be magnified. There were, of course, his work of miracles and all those things, but there was a cloud there. People weren't getting it. They were not understanding it. But after the resurrection, that changed. And he says here in Hebrews chapter 2, verse 9, but we see Jesus, who was made a little lower than the angels for the suffering of death. And so he crossed the Jordan. He suffered death for us. But then it says he was crowned with glory and honor, that he, by the grace of God, should taste death for every man. He died so that we would not need to. And, of course, we're speaking about the eternal death of the damned. But all of us will pass through that Jordan. But he has taken the sting out of it. He has taken the dread out of it. He has taken the pain out of it. We can look forward to our inheritance with anticipation because there is a promise on the other side. The promised land is waiting us there. And it's all because of Jesus. And so here he has begun to be magnified. He is crowned with glory and honor. He has tasted death for every man. And it mentions there twice in this context that it was to go before the people. He was the first fruits. He went before so that we can enter, pass through on dry land like they did. All right, now in the 12th verse, he says, let's see, now we're in chapter 3, verse 12. Now, therefore, take you 12 men out of the tribes of Israel, out of every tribe a man. And there's, I think, at least three places in this context where it talks about this, of taking the stones out of the Jordan and carrying them over. And I'm going to read what it says here in Deuteronomy 27 as they were being prepared to cross over the Jordan. God was giving them instruction how they should do. In Deuteronomy 27, the first 12 verses, and Moses, with the elders of Israel, commanded the people, saying, keep all the commandments which I command you this day. And it shall be on the day when you shall pass over the Jordan unto the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee, that thou shalt set thee up great stones and plaster them with plaster. And thou shalt write upon them all the words of this law which thou art passed, when thou art passed over, that thou mayest go into the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee, a land that floweth with milk and honey, as the Lord of thy God of thy fathers hath promised thee. Therefore it shall be, when ye be going over the Jordan, that ye shall set up these stones, which I command you this day in Mount Ebal. And thou shalt plaster them with plaster, and there shalt thou build an altar unto the Lord thy God, an altar of stones. Thou shalt not lift up any iron tool upon them. Thou shalt build the altar of the Lord thy God of whole stones, and thou shalt offer burnt offerings thereon unto the Lord thy God, and thou shalt offer peace offerings, and they shall eat there, and rejoice before the Lord thy God, and thou shalt write upon the stones all the words of this law very plainly. And Moses said unto the priests of the Levites, Moses and the priests the Levites spake unto all Israel, saying, take heed and hearken, O Israel, this day. Thou art become the people of the Lord thy God. Thou shalt therefore obey the voice of the Lord thy God and do his commandments and his statutes, and which I command this day. And Moses charged the people the same day, saying, these shall stand upon Mount Gerizim to bless the people when ye are come over the Jordan. And so the thing I want to notice here is there's two things here. One is they were going to take the stones out of the Jordan, and then they were going to plaster them, and then they're going to write the law on them. And the other thing is that a number of places throughout this passage, he says to keep all the commandments which I command you this day. That is the emphasis, keep the commandments. On those conditions, then, you pass over. You're preparing to cross over into the Jordan. The number 12 there, of course, is in Bible numerology, is the number of God's elect. Those are the people who are saved, those who have prepared. God's elect, the 24 elders in the book of Revelation are God's elect from the Old and New Testament. The 144,000 are all people from every tongue, kindred, nation, and throughout the whole earth in all ages. It's a multiple of 12, God's elect. And so they're to take these 12 stones, and they're to cross, take them over to the other side. It's God's elect. And then they're to make a memorial there. But in Revelation 22, verse 14, he says, blessed are they that do his commandments. And it's very parallel to the scripture I just read here. It says, blessed are they that do his commandments, that they may have right to the tree of life and may enter in through the gates into the city. And so here again, we have the same condition. If we are going to inherit the promised land, if we're going to enter into it, it's going to be on the basis of our obedience to the word of God. Verse 16 says then that the waters which came down from above stood and rose up upon a heap very far from the city of Adam. And that's interesting. This is the only time in the Bible that the city of Adam is mentioned. And I think it's significant. Nobody really knows exactly for sure where it was, but it says it was close to Zaratan. And so he says it's going to be very far from the city of Adam. And when we think about Adam's transgression, how that it was the sin of Adam that brought condemnation to mankind. It was the sin of Adam that condemned mankind to eternal punishment. And it was Jesus, the Redeemer, who broke that curse by his death. And you understand that. I won't take time to explain all that. But there's a scripture here in 1 Corinthians 15:21. He says, "For since by man came death, by man came also the resurrection of the dead. For as in Adam all die, even so in Christ shall all be made alive. But every man in his own order, Christ, again the first fruits, afterward they that are Christ's at his coming." And so it's significant that it was very far from the city of Adam where the children of Israel crossed the Jordan River into the promised land. And then in verse 17 it says, and the priests that bear the ark of the covenant of the Lord stood firm on dry ground in the midst of Jordan, and all the Israelites passed over on dry ground until all the people were passed clean over Jordan. Everyone got over safely. And the priests with the ark stood in the river until all the people were passed clean over Jordan. I'm going to read just a portion of scripture here from 1 Corinthians 15. Beginning in verse 53. "For this corruptible must put on incorruption, this mortal must put on immortality. So when this corruptible shall have put on incorruption, this mortal shall have put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord." Jesus has taken the sting out of death, and he has given us a note of victory. He has conquered death and all its implications, but it is conditional on this point, and this is what we especially want to notice here as we prepare, and that is be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, because your labor is not in vain in the Lord. There is a reward. There are rewards in this life, but the big reward is at the end for those who are faithful. And that's what I want to conclude with here now in chapter 4, verses, back to Joshua again, in chapter 4. Verse 5. "And Joshua said unto them, pass over before the ark of the Lord your God into the midst of the Jordan, and take you up every man a stone upon his shoulder, according unto the number of the tribes of the children of Israel, that this may be a sign among you, that when your children ask their fathers in time to come, saying, what mean ye by these stones? Then ye shall answer them that the waters of the Jordan were cut off before the ark of the covenant of the Lord. When it passed over Jordan, the waters of the Jordan were cut off. And these stones shall be for a memorial unto the children of Israel forever." In Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1, he says, "Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us." This pile of stones was to be a memorial. There were 12 stones. They were God's elect that had passed over to the other side. We know people who have been faithful, who have passed over to the other side. They are there as a memorial for us. We have heard of them. We have read of them. We have the heroes of faith given in the Bible. People who have proven to us that a life of service to God is possible, and that there is a reward at the end. They are that memorial, that cloud of witnesses. And then he says, because we have this cloud of witnesses that says, keep on. We're waiting for you here on the other side. It says, lay aside every weight and the sin which does so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us. And I think that's one reason why it's so important for parents to spend time with their little ones, reading to them Bible stories, stories of people of faith, those who accomplish things for God and who have left a strong testimony. And then in verse 10, he says, for the priests which bear the ark, it stood in the midst of the Jordan until everything was finished. Everything was finished that the Lord commanded Joshua to speak unto the people, according to all that Moses commanded Joshua, and the people hasted and passed over. And it reminds me of what he says again in Hebrews chapter 10, or Hebrews chapter 12, verse 2, where he says, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. Everything was finished, and then they passed over. Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. When Jesus was hanging there on the cross, after he had risen again and was talking to his disciples, these are the words that he said to them. He said, I spake unto you while I was yet with you that all things must be fulfilled which were written in the law of Moses and the prophets and the Psalms concerning me. It was finished. And then in verse 14, the last verse that I'm going to look at, on that day the Lord magnified Joshua in the sight of all Israel, and they feared him as they feared Moses all the days of his life. They magnified Joshua in the sight of all Israel. Jesus also is magnified because of his sacrifice on Calvary. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Wherefore God also hath highly exalted him, or magnified him, and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of things in heaven and things in earth and things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. And so, as we're here at this preparation service today, let's look beyond just preparing for another communion service, and let's think of it as preparing for heaven. We are going to be standing before the one who is a discerner of the thoughts and even the intents of our heart. And so may God bless the service here today as we continue. Shall